I'm Judith Doctor, and I'm a dreamer. Today I want to share with you why I know that our Heavenly Father is using the dream to speak to people. He wants to speak to each one of us. And an underlying premise of the Christian use of dreams is the fact that God wants to speak to you. Do you know that? This is what the Bible teaches. In Proverbs 1:23, the Lord says that I will pour out my spirit and make my words known to you. I will pour out my spirit and I will make my words known to you. Do you want to know what the Father wants to say to you? Do you long to hear His voice? Do you need His wisdom and knowledge for your life? You know, I was thinking a few minutes before I started this recording, is that Christianity, or the Bible, let me say this, the Bible is more than a book about how to live right. It really is about how to establish and develop a relationship with a loving Heavenly Father. You know, in the garden, Adam and Eve used to know and enjoy the presence of God in their evening walks. They knew His presence, and they enjoyed it. But when they rebelled and sinned, something happened to their spirit. They were no longer able to commune with God in this very intimate and personal way. And yet, in the Old Testament, God promises to do something about that. He promises to change the situation. And most of you know the gospel and what the Lord planned. But do you know in Proverbs 1:28, the Lord said, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. I'll pour out my spirit and make my words known to you. I will pour out my spirit and make my words known to you. And if you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. And so it's important that we understand Christianity is offering you a relationship and an ability to know what the Lord is saying to you. Blackaby wrote a few years ago in his book, Experiencing God, that if we did not know the voice, here's what he said. If a Christian does not know when God is speaking, he is in trouble at the heart of his Christian life. This is in his book, Experiencing God. This is Henry Blackaby. And he makes this statement, if a Christian does not know when God is speaking, he is in trouble at the heart of his Christian life. Another quote that I've liked very much comes from an acquaintance of mine in Germany, a German psychiatrist, Dr. Walter Luckler. And Dr. Luckler said this to me. He said that he found his patients could not get better if they did not have a healthy dialogue with a loving Heavenly Father. He found this is what they needed in order to recover from the neuroses, from their mental and emotional ills. They lost their spiritual center. They did not know at the core of their being that God's presence in their life. They did not know that that Christianity offers. They did not know and benefit from Christianity. They did not know that Christianity offers us something special. It offers us the ability to experience the power of God working in the core of our inner being, and. You know, do you need to hear the voice of God? I trust that's why you're listening today. And as I said in the beginning that I'm a dreamer, I've been dreaming and paying attention to my dreams for well over 30 years. For over 30 years, I've listened to my dreams, paid attention to them, and understood many of them. And as a result of understanding many of them, I began to do what the Lord was showing me to do. And because of this, my life was radically changed. Because I learned to experience the power of God through my dreams. And this is what I want you to know today. What I want to share with you today is that this is possible. I'm an ordinary woman. I'm now in my seventh decade. But many years ago, in my 30s, I needed to know God. I needed to know His voice. I needed to know His presence. I had a child. We had a child with leukemia, a seven-year-old son. And I knew there was no way that I could live and through this experience unless I came to know in a very intimate and personal way God. You know, I knew all about God. I knew the Bible. I knew the scriptures. And I knew what the Bible said, but I did not know His presence. I did not know Him in my innermost being. I had no witness that I was born again, that I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And through a series of situations, somebody helped me to begin to understand how to apply my faith when I prayed and asked the Lord to come into my heart. And when I prayed and asked God to fill me with the Holy Spirit, somebody helped teach me how to apply my faith. This is not what I want to talk to you about today, but that was the forerunner, the underlying background. When I began to recognize that something, my dreams, I began to pay attention to them. When I awoke, I remembered certain dreams and I began to ponder, what are these dreams trying to tell me? Is it possible that God is using the dream to speak to people? Unfortunately, I grew up in a under dispensationalism, where I had been taught that God doesn't use the dream anymore. We have the Bible. He doesn't do those miracles anymore. He doesn't have these angelic visitations anymore. He doesn't need to do this because now we have the Bible. And so when I began to see and listen to and look at my dreams, I thought, wow, God, what is this about? Are you speaking to me through the dream? And when I began to ask God this question, I had a dream one night. And in this dream, I see a file box. And the file box is sitting there with a drawer open. And in the drawer was a bunch of folders. And I looked into the folder, and I saw a folder titled, Guidance from the Dream. Guidance from the Dream. And I looked at another folder there, and it said, Guidance from the Shadow. Now, you don't understand what the shadow is yet, but there's something in the dream. Let me try to back that up. There are some dreams that have a same-sex figure in your dream, and that person personifies some parts of yourself that you don't recognize, that you don't know, some possibilities for your future. It offers you some understanding of certain parts of yourself that you don't want to own, that you're denying. But go back to the first folder. The first folder simply said, Guidance from the Dream. And I knew then that God was answering me right through a dream. One of the things I've learned about dreams is that dreams come out of our prayers many times. That dreams come in response to the questions and concerns in my heart. You know, this is incredible, you know, to go to sleep and pray about something and then wake up and say, oh, Lord, are you trying to show me something about that dream? Is there something in that dream that will add some understanding to my situation that I'm facing right now? This happened over and over and over in my life. And so, you know, this is why I want to talk to you. You know, recently we published our first book, my husband and I, and the book is called Dream Treasure, Learning the Language of Heaven. And in that manual, our how-to book, we describe how to work with the dream. We describe the different purposes of dreams, the biblical purposes of dreams. We just go in depth to help you understand the symbolic language of dream. But today, I just simply want to talk to you out of my heart why I know that I know God speaks through dreams. And because everything I had learned about the Bible told me He didn't do that anymore. And yet when I read the Bible and grew up learning the stories, you know, people had dreams. They had a visitation from angels. They had prophecies. They had visions. They had supernatural phenomena occurring in their life. And yet somewhere along the way, Christianity lost touch with this spiritual reality that can come to us. I don't know how to explain it, but it's an important point that you need to understand that our worldview so often gave us only a picture of rationalistic Christianity, something you can reason, something you can use your five senses in. And yet Proverbs says in chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. Lean not. Yet we were taught to use our understanding to evaluate so many things. And our spiritual senses, you know that this is what happens to you. When you're born again and you're filled with the Spirit of God, you have spiritual senses right within your inner being. Paul recognized this. Paul knew that, and he prayed for the church at Ephesus that the eyes of their heart would be enlightened. He talked about the need for revelation and insight into the things of God, because the things of God cannot be understood with your natural mind. In fact, Paul said, you're not even capable of doing that. Do you know that? You know, and I had to learn to read the scriptures again, relying not upon my natural mind, but upon the Holy Spirit to teach me, to bring me revelation, to bring me insight, because I needed to know Him. I needed to hear His voice. I needed His innermost presence within my own spirit. And so this search and this quest actually led me to the point where, as I mentioned already, that I recognized that I was receiving dreams from God. But do you know that I'm not the only one? Do you know that there are many other believers, Christian people around the world, that have received dreams from God over many, many, many hundreds of years, and even in the recent 20, 30, 40 years? Do you know that? And yet you never hear a sermon on dreams. I'm sure most of you never have. I'm sure most of you have never listened to a Bible study on how God uses the dream to speak to people. And so, so the underlying premise for this conversation I'm having with you today is based upon the idea that God wants to speak to you. He wants you to know what He wants to say to you. And one of the ways He does it, dear friends, is through dreams and visions and prophecies. I'll point those scriptures out in a few minutes. But some of you may know something about prophecy. A few of you know something about vision, or maybe you even had some little visions and you didn't know what to call it because suddenly you saw something. I remember when we came home from Germany about 7 years ago, and the Holy Spirit made it very clear that we need to go home immediately, and we didn't know why. And we got back into Michigan, and we said, well, Lord, what are we here for? And my husband went before the Lord. In his spiritual senses, he knew the Father was saying to him, you need to stay here in Michigan now. And so we didn't lean to our own understanding, which we had had another plan and another idea. But we trusted this intuitive knowing, or the inner voice of the Spirit of God in our spirit. And so we went out and we found a place to rent. And that day when I was signing the lease on that farmhouse, as I'm walking down from upstairs, there was a little apartment up there also that was part of the house we were renting. And I saw a picture, vision. And I saw our oldest son and his girlfriend living with us. Isn't that incredible? A little vision, but we don't talk enough about the vision either and how to be aware of it. I mean, I can't say it was a powerful, overwhelming experience. It just flashed into this in somewhere in my spirit, and I saw it, and then it was gone. God was preparing me for what He was about to do. And many times I have found the dream also serves His purpose, that He uses the dream to prepare me for something that's coming. I was in Germany working in a clinic in 1991, and I had been there 6 months, and I was invited by the chief doctor of this clinic that was based on a psychosocial spiritual model. 12 steps were part of it. And it was run on the basis of a therapeutic community too. And I had been invited there because the chief doctor said, we don't know how to work with the spirit of our patients. He said, I know how to work with the soul, but I don't know how to work with the spirit. Would you come and help us? And so I did. I went there, and I was there about 5 months in that trip. And, you know, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I learned so much about how they were working with troubled emotions in people, and so many things I learned. And I really wanted to stay on. My husband was with me at that time, and I was hoping that I could stay on. And there was a talk about whether they would hire me or not. And yet I spoke no German. You got to understand this. Here I am in a situation I speak no German, but God is able to lead us and guide us and to bring us to the places He wants to be. And so that night, I woke up at 3 a.m. in the morning with a very clear dream. I call this type of dream, you know, a clear dream. It had no symbolism in it. It had no symbolic language in it. It was just very clear. And in the dream, the owner of the clinic was saying to me, I'm not going to hire you. And that was all he said. And I woke right out of my sleep, sat straight up in bed, And I said, Jerry, I woke Jerry up and said, we're going to go home. God is showing me that our time is done here. So when the actual conversation came literally to what I heard in the dream, I knew, I mean, God had prepared me for what was ahead. This is one of the extremely extreme blessings that come from listening to dreams in the night. You know, it's a language. It's we can talk about that later maybe. But the dream, God is using the dream to speak to people around the world. I want to make you hungry that you will begin to listen to your dreams and learn to recognize and understand what they're trying to say to you. And that you can encounter, really literally encounter the power of God right in your dream in the night. You know Solomon did. You remember that famous story of Solomon where in a dream, he and God were having a conversation. And God asked him what he wanted. And Solomon answered him in the dream. He was dialoguing, having personal communication with God, the creator of the universe. Here is Solomon in the night while he's asleep, having a dialogue, having a conversation with the living God. And he was able to ask God for what he wanted. And he asked for wisdom, and God said, I will give it to you. You know, this is a biblical account of how God used the dream in the Old Testament. Why do we think, dear friends, that in the New Covenant that we have something not as personal? We have a better covenant, it said. We have a better covenant. Jesus said, it's better that I go away. It's better for you if I go away because I'm going to send back the Holy Spirit and He will be in you. And He will guide you to all truth. He will prepare you for what's to come. He will teach you all things. And many other things the Holy Spirit is called to do and charged to do for us. And so it's really important that we understand how the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And how He makes the words of our Father known to us. And we'll go to this in a few minutes, but I'm just trying to establish some thoughts in your mind of how critically important it is that you hear the voice of God, that you know what God wants to say to you. And I don't know the different ways that you know how God speaks to you. And somebody has written a book, 30 Ways God Speaks to Us. 30 ways. But it's very clear in the Old Testament and the New Testament that it says in the prophet Joel, and it says in Peter at Acts, in Acts by Peter at Pentecost, that when the Holy Spirit is poured out, there will be dreams and visions and prophecies. And when the Holy Spirit is poured out upon handmaidens, upon everyone, old men, young men, women, that there will be things will begin to happen, that God will make His word known to you through the dream and the vision and the prophecy. Now, this is in the book of Acts. After Jesus had gone back to heaven, this is the result of the coming of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus tells us in the Gospels that the Holy Spirit will be with us forever. Forever. He will not leave us or forsake us. He is in us. Paul said, do you not know that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit? And I want to stir up your faith that you contain far more than you know that you do. When you receive Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit. Yes, there's more to the power of the Holy Spirit, and perhaps you can term it some terminology like baptism of the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is essential, that you come to know His leading and His guiding. Romans, Paul said that many as our sons are led by my Spirit. And this is the day and age that God is looking for people to make His words known to. You know, Mother Teresa, you know, grew up since she had some, God had some work for her to do. But most of you don't know that it was through a dream in the night that she found the direction and purpose for her life. I'll just see if I can pick it up here in my notes a minute so I tell it to you exactly. But Mother Teresa had a dream, said she dreamed. It was in the newspaper. I read this in the Rhode Island newspaper a few years ago when she was visiting the States. She said, the other night I dreamt I went to the gates of heaven. And St. Peter asked me what I was doing there because there were no slums in heaven. And he said, go back to earth. We have no slums here. And Mother Teresa said she answered him, then I will go to the highways and the byways and find poor people and fill heaven with them. It was this dialogue with Saint Peter in her dream. She had a dialogue with him. And Peter is letting her know that we don't have very many poor people, people from the slums up here in heaven. There's a need to go to the highways and byways. You know, Jesus said that we are called. As the Father sent him, so send he us, sends us. And he says, go to the highways and byways and call them to come. Mother Teresa, because of this dream in the night, stop and think about it. In the encounter with St. Peter, she had a dialogue that touched her so deeply. It gave her the power and a direction for her entire life mission. You know, some years ago we read about the purpose-driven life and how important that is, and that each one of you are born with a purpose and a calling in God, and that it's important that we know what that purpose is that He has given you life for. And the dream is one of the ways that God made it clear to me. It was through the dream in the night that He made it clear some of my gifts and how He had gifted me. In one of the dreams that I had back in the early 1980s, a woman is leading a group, an unknown woman. She's leading a group, a circle of people. And I'm sitting in this circle, and she looks over at me and she said, skilled talent. And I woke up out of my dream, and I knew immediately what the Lord was trying to show me, that I had basically, God had gifted me and given me basic talents of how to facilitate a group that would bring about healing and growth for many, many people. And that provided me the impetus and direction for my very first groups in the mid-80s. That gave me the faith that I could do something. I was a mother. I was a homemaker. This is what I did. I had never been to Bible school. I didn't have a college education. I didn't have a bachelor's degree. Yes, I had been to nursing school, and I had a nursing diploma. But I had no other education that would have called me, or therapeutic education, to become a facilitator that promoted healing experiences for the people through the power of the Holy Spirit. But it was a dream that showed me that capability. And it gave me faith because I contemplated that dream. I thought on it. I wrote it down. And I said, Father, thank you for showing me this. And I began to let it grow and produce faith in my heart. Another dream at that time, early 80s, so many dreams, you know. The dreams have touched every area of my life. They've touched my personal relationships with my husband and my children. They've given me wisdom and knowledge about my relationships. It's given me solutions and wisdom of how to handle a broken relationship in the body of Christ. It gave me direction of what I needed to do when I had birthed in a Christian ministry, and the Lord made it clear that I need to step out of it. And the dream showed that to me. Do you believe? God wants to speak to you personally. Do you believe He created you with the capacity to dream? You know, I invite you to think with me a minute about this. Who gave us the capacities to dream? Who created you and I with the capacity to dream every night? It's now an established scientific fact. Research has established this, that every one of you are dreaming 1 to 2 hours or more a night. That's a lot of dreaming in your lifetime. I forgot what it involves, how many years it involves, how many hours you're asleep, and how many hours you dream every night. That adds up over a lifetime. And yet, what is the purpose of that dream? What is dreaming doing for you? Scientific research has established the fact that dreaming promotes better mental and emotional health. Yeah, it knows it. That if we don't sleep and don't dream, that we become a little more unstable inside. Dreaming offers us a way to look at what we've just experienced and sift through it and find a way to sort through those experiences and what they mean to you. Dreams have been established to be problem solving, that they help us solve problems in our life. There is a record, a long record, dear friends, of many, many people who received solutions to problems in their dream in the night. Do you know that it was the sewing machine was invented as a result of a dream that Elias, let me give you his name, Elias Howe invented the sewing machine as a result of a nightmare or a dream. Handel claimed that parts of the Messiah came to him in a dream. Paul McCartney received the complete melody for Yesterday in a dream. And it goes on, Niels Bohr developed the quantum theory of atomic structure after dreaming about a racetrack. And then there's a record of military leaders like Constantine and General George Patton, who received help in the night from their dreams in the times of battle. Some of our great American presidents like George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, wrote about their visionary experiences and their dreams. And many, many famous church leaders. I've mentioned Mother Teresa, but John Wesley, Dr. A.J. Gordon from Gordon College, John Newton, John Bunyan, Bishop Bruno, who became Pope Leo the Ninth, had a dream where a deformed old woman, hideously deformed, was taunting him in his dream. And Bishop Bruno, she made the sign of the cross over her head, and she was transformed into a lovely woman. Bishop Bruno understood the woman represents the deplorable condition of the church, which was restored to its original beauty during the time when he became Pope. That's Bishop Bruno. Yeah, so there's so much evidence that God never stopped using the dream down through the centuries. Many, many, many people have written and recorded their dreams that they have received that have helped them. But yet, we in the church know little about dreams. You know, in recent years, you know, the New Age movement became very interested in dreaming and began to listen to their dreams. The Muslims, I mean, this has been written since 1990s. I've read this articles that were published that is reported that Muslims, devout radical Muslims, were coming to Christ through dreams in the night. Do you know that? Do you know that God is still using the dream? That's one of the purposes, to reveal Jesus, to reveal Him. It's one of the biblical purposes to make His words known to us. Muslims are dreaming valuable dreams from God. In our book, I recount a story of a woman named Shada who was visiting friends of ours, and she told how she came to Jesus through a dream in the night. Is this credible evidence that God is still using the dreams? If not, who gave those people their dreams? Who gave them the inventions? Who gave them the dream that showed that Mother Teresa her purpose and direction? Was that God? You need to think about that and answer that for yourself. Where do dreams come from? Who created us with the capacity of dreams? And then we look at the writings of the early church fathers. And I struggled for several years to really believe that the dream was trustworthy, that it wasn't nonsense, that it wasn't pizza dreams, it wasn't caused because of too much food. But it came with a divine purpose. And slowly I became convinced, I saw that dreams carry a divine purpose. They are not happenstance. They are not accidents. They have a purpose that they are endowed with. And they accomplish their purpose. You know, much like white cells in our body when we're invaded by germs. White cells are endowed with a healing purpose to bring healing to your body. My personal opinion is that the dream is endowed with a healing purpose. Whether you even understand your dream or not, you are benefiting from them. Because there's a purpose where they stabilize your innermost being, where they give you energy for the next day. They empower with you with a new focus, and you're not even remembering your dreams. But the dreams are doing something for you, much like your white cells do. Much like the mechanisms God built into the human body, He's also built into the psyche, our soul, mechanisms that keep us well and keep us functioning well. As a nurse and now as a counselor, as a therapist with an MSW, I know this for a fact, that the dream is endowed with a divine purpose. I have worked with clients in addiction treatment. And I have seen their dreams, as they shared their dreams with me, I saw the roots of their addiction and how it began. Perhaps in Vietnam, as a war soldier, One man's dreams were about back in Vietnam, and he was still, it was a nightmare. And the nightmare was showing him that he had unresolved pain and trauma from back in Vietnam, but he's addicted and trying to break free from addictions. Can he ever stay free from his addictions if somebody doesn't understand the roots underlying that addiction? This is incredible that in healthcare and the healing professions, we treat the symptoms, but we don't go to the root of the cause. Herman Riffle, he died a few years ago, but he mentored me in the biblical use of dreams. And this is one of the things that he was fond of saying. But he said he found that dreams are an invaluable counselor, that they're with us every night and they don't charge us a thing. They're a personal counselor. Listen to what Psalmist said in Psalm 16. He wrote that God counsels us in the night. He instructs us in the way we should go. How is he doing that? Could it not be through your dreams in the night that he's giving you counsel and instruction and you're not listening to it? You're not benefiting from it. I'll go over to the church fathers in a moment, but I want to just go back to this underlying premise that God wants to you to hear his voice. He wants to speak to you. Listen to what he says in Isaiah 55, verses in the early part of that chapter. Listen to carefully to me. Listen. How many of you are listening and hungry to hear the personal word of God for you in your life? How many of you are letting God know that you need to hear him, that you need his divine wisdom, his counsel, and his guidance for your life? How many of you have got crises in your life? How many of you have got problems in your life that you don't know how to solve? You don't know which way to turn. You don't know how you're gifted. But God wants to speak to you, a personal word. He wants to bring you an understanding of what he's saying to you. Listen carefully to me. Incline your ear and come to me. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. He says in Jeremiah 33, call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. I can give you a testimony over many stories in my life of how God has done that. Then Jesus says we cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Are you trying to live with only physical food, dear friends? Or maybe some scripture reading, which is great to do. In this Matthew 4:4, when Jesus said, but by every word, that word is in the Greek is rhema. It means a personal word, an individual word. And perhaps it comes through a scripture where God illuminates it and it becomes life to you. It's a living word that you put, that you carry in your heart and your soul. Years ago, the Lord spoke to me that he was going to take me to Europe, to Germany, that he had a ministry for me. And he spoke to me through a man I did not know who prophesied to me. Yeah, well, how's that going to happen about, Lord? I have no clue what to do or how to do this. But I took that word and I meditated. I held it in my heart so it created faith in me. And then God began to open the doorways, which began through a dream in the night and another dream. But I can't go into those dreams now. But we need to hear a living word that's alive, that produces faith in your heart. The word, the dream is alive. It's a living word. And it can produce faith in your heart if you get a hold of it and meditate on it. And write it down and look at it and stir up your faith in it. That God is showing you things that he wants to do. Or what you need to understand. Spiritual revelation he's brought me in the dream. In one of my dreams, the angel Gabriel is with me. And he's putting wings on me and teaching me how to fly in the currents of the air. So we can have spiritual revelation. We can experience the power of God in our dream. In my dreams, somebody laid hands on me, and the anointing falls upon me so that I fall to the ground in my dream. I'm not a special person. It says that ordinary people will hear from God. Proverbs 1, I'm going to pour out my spirit and make my words known to you. You and I are living in an age where God has poured out his spirit. Back in the 1960s, there was the charismatic renewal. But what do you do with that Holy Spirit when it's been poured out? His job is to cause you to hear His voice and that you will do what He tells you to do. This is part of valuing the dream and doing what He tells you to do. There's a lot more about testing dreams and discernment and interpreting properly. But right now, I just want to stir up your faith that there are more ways that God wants to speak to you and ways that can touch you to the core of your being and bring about a faith, an increase of faith in your innermost being. Jesus said in the Gospels, in Matthew, He said, "The man who hears my word and does what I say is like a man who builds his house upon a rock. And when the storms of life hit, you won't disintegrate psychologically, emotionally, physically. You won't do a meltdown." And so it's essential that you learn to hear the voice of God, that you recognize the way He is speaking to you and how He wants to speak to you. Ask Him, "Lord, do you want to speak to me through my dreams in the night?" Ask Him. "You've given me this capability and I've been ignoring it for so many years. I don't want to do that anymore. I want to hear what you want to say to me. And however way you want to bring it, Father, I'm listening. I am desperate to hear your word." I think it says in Isaiah, you know, that buy from me. To eat my words. I don't remember the scripture, but it's that we become so desperately hungry to hear the living God, the word of God. Do you know how important it is when crisis has hit you? Just last October, November, we had a medical crisis hit my husband. And we were unprepared for it. We were not looking for this. And suddenly he was given a diagnosis that wasn't very good. But I'm so thankful in the week before, this is just last year, in 2011, in early November. And I woke out of my night in the night with a dream. And in this dream, a 40, 50 foot tidal wave was fast approaching me. It's rolling at me in high speed. And I look at it and I realize we're about to be destroyed. There's no way that we can live through this. We will be destroyed. That was my thought in the dream. And then somehow the dream shifted. And I don't know what happened to that tidal wave, but it was gone. And I knew that we had survived, that we were well and alive. That dream has carried me in the last 2.5 months. Yeah, 3 months. It has carried me. God has given me faith because that dream shows me that we will not be destroyed by what the doctors are found and so on and are doing. And so we're thankful that God warns me ahead of time and prepares me for what's about to happen. We can draw great comfort from the fact that we know God knew. God knew already what was about to happen. We thank God for the blessing that this was caught in this time frame, and there's something that can be done to treat it. We're so thankful to the Lord. But I'm really thankful for that dream. In another dream in that very week, I'm in a house in the dream, and a friend of mine who has been a spiritual mentor and pastor to me, a Catholic lay evangelist, came up to me and said, "You've forgotten some things you once knew." That was the same week. And so now I understood that during this time of turbulence that I need to strengthen my faith and activate it and use it again. We can get lazy with spiritual truths that we've known and owned, and we can forget to use them. And so this very dream highlighted for me what I needed to do and has provided direction for me as I've gone back to the basics to understand how faith works and what it is. And so I'm so, you know, I could go on and on telling you dreams, but there's a couple more things I need to share with you about how I came to recognize God was using the dream in my life. And I mentioned the early church fathers. Did you know that I forgot how many centuries after the apostolic era, people were still listening to their dreams and taking them seriously? The early church Christian apologist wrote about dreams and said they are one way God gives us revelation and that we can be very close to God. This is Irenaeus, bishop. He said, "This is dreams give us revelation of the spiritual world, and they demonstrate that we can be very close to God." Yeah, how close to God do you want to be? Oregon said that dreams give us knowledge of the spiritual world through symbolic awareness. Tertullian believed that dreams and visions are available to us today, to the people today, just like they were the first apostles, and that God reveals himself to people in the dreams. He went so far as to say, this is the first couple centuries after the apostolic era, after Christ, that almost the greater part of mankind get their knowledge of God from dreams. Cyprian, if I say it right, founder of the Latin Church, emphasized personal encounters with God through dreams and visions. And a little bit later, early Orthodox people like John the Golden Mouth, a very important man in that time period, wrote that dreams are a frequent source of revelation from the spiritual realm, and that God reveals himself through dreams. He went on to say that if we are finely tuned to God, we don't need visions and other more dramatic divine revelations. We can depend upon dreams to hear from God. Basil the Great, Ambrose, Augustine, even Jerome, who received dreams from God, even though he mistranslated the Bible into the Latin Vulgate. It's a mistake that was made. It wasn't corrected until the last century by the Catholic Church. And there were some other people too who began to deny dreams, and through the next several centuries, 300 years or more, the church basically began to ignore the dream. Morton Kelsey wrote that, and there wasn't one Christian book written on dreams for about 300 years until he wrote his books in the 1960s. Morton Kelsey, an Episcopalian priest. Yeah, you know, this is our heritage. We've been robbed of it. We didn't recognize it. We were afraid of the Holy Spirit. We couldn't trust the Holy Spirit. We were made to mistrust dreams. In the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, it says that dreams are abnormal. This is the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia. Dreams are abnormal. Sleep should be without dreams of any conscious occurrence. It says the Bible attaches relatively little religious significance to dreams. Well, tell that to St. Peter. Tell them to his message at Pentecost. Dreams, visions, and prophecies will follow the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That's what happened in my life. That's what's happened to many people. Many Christian people have began to receive dreams. People are afraid of them because they don't know how to understand the symbolic language in them. Therein, there needs to be some teaching. There needs to be a Christian theory of dreams. We have ignored this for so long, and we've relegated dreams to the New Age movement. Do you realize that's what we've done? Yeah, we've ignored it. And we've relegated something that God gave and created. I will end in a few minutes with God's own words. But there's another quote I want to, that I came across recently, and this comes from Joyce Meyer. She's a Bible teacher on television and written many books, and many people have found so much help through her. But in her book, How to Hear from God, in 2003, she writes this: dreams are often interesting to talk about, but often are unstable, giving us clear direction for our lives. That's not true, dear friends. I've just shared with you how dreams gave me clear direction. Dreams showed me when I was to go to Germany, told me when I wasn't to go. It has given me such clear direction. There is just no way. There is no way that this is true. There is no way that this is true. She says that they're not able to give us clear direction. In other words, you can't depend upon them. You can't trust them. Maybe you can't trust how you interpret them, but you can trust the Holy Spirit to help you unlock their meaning. The rest of her quote says this: I have found that people who try to make too much of their dreams are asking to be deceived. Baloney. You know, no wonder God's people are not paying attention to this tremendously valuable resource, this gift from God. Herman Riffle wrote a book, Dreams, God's Neglected Gift. Reverend John A. Sanford wrote a book called Dreams, God's Forgotten Language. God's forgotten language. By the way, Dr. Paul Young-hee Cho, I don't know if you know this name, but he was pastor of the world's largest church in South Korea. In his book called The Fourth Dimension, in 1979, this is back in 1979, he wrote, the language of the Holy Spirit is dreams and visions and prophecies. That's why we titled our book on dreams, Learning the Language of Heaven. It's the language of the Holy Spirit. Very clear. You can't deny Peter's words. You must not deny it. And you need to come out of your deception and the ignorance on this topic and say, Lord, I need to hear your voice. Before I round out this, why I know that God uses dreams, I want to just go through the Bible quickly, real fast with you. And it says in Numbers, and this is very key, Numbers chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. And here God himself is speaking to Aaron and Miriam. This is the brother and sister of Moses. The Lord came down in a pillar, according to the scripture, a pillar of cloud, and stood at the doorway of the tent. And he called Aaron and Miriam. And when they had both come forward, he said, Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him in a vision. I shall speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses, with whom I speak mouth to mouth, and not in dark sayings. This is on the record, God himself saying that he uses dreams to speak to the prophets in the Old Testament. He establishes the fact, the truth, that he is the author of those dreams, that he is bringing those dreams to his servants, the prophets in that age in the Old Testament. Numbers chapter 12. In Hebrew, when God says not in dark sayings, that's our English translation of a word, which literally means a puzzle, a conundrum, a message that's tied in a knot. God himself deliberately obscures his message. That's incredible, isn't it? We'll learn why in our book, Dream Treasure. You'll understand why, better why, God has chosen to obscure his message in a puzzle, in a knot. He uses symbols and images, metaphors, puns. He uses the language of pictures. Colorful language. The language of pictures is the one language that we all share in common. It's the language of our heart, is picture language. There's so much more here, but King Saul understood that God used the dreams to speak to people. He was very frustrated when he would ask God something and God didn't answer him by dreams or by the prophets or by the Urim. This is 1 Samuel 28. And the voice of Elihu challenges Job, don't complain about God. God speaks once or twice, yet no one is noticing it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when sound sleep falls on men, while they slumber in their beds, and he opens the ears of men, and he seals their instruction. This is in Job, and Job 33. And Job understood that God used dreams in the night to speak to people. And Daniel understood it when he was asked to interpret Nebuchadnezzar's dreams because he went to God. And in Daniel 2:28-30, look it up and read it. This was your dream and your visions in your mind while on the bed. There is a God who reveals mysteries through the dream and the vision. Voice of Joel. This is the key scripture, the second key scripture. The first one was Numbers. The second one is Joel 2:28. Now we move into where the prophet is prophesying, and this is what he says God is saying. 2:28, it will come about that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. And even so, on the male and female servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. In other words, everyone. Nobody's to be excluded. It's not just for the exclusive realm of the prophets anymore, or a chosen few, but it's for everyone. Ordinary people, old men, young men, handmaidens, they all can know what God is saying to them. This is the heritage of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus makes possible for you, that you can hear Him and know His voice. And one of the ways God said He does it is through the dream in the night. Now, moving into the New Testament, I just want to note that in the Gospels, there were five dreams surrounding the birth of Jesus Christ. Five. Look them up. Count them. There are several visions also there. And here we see the dream very active at the time of the birth of Christ. And we see that a heathen wife of Pilate had a dream in the Gospels. And we can read in the Gospels that a number of people had visions or visionary experiences, seeing angels on the Mount of Transfiguration, the woman at the well. And so we see the dream, the vision and the dream was still active, even though there's only one account of the dream. And then there's the dreams accounting the birth of Jesus. And the question is always raised, well, how come you don't see more stories of dreams in the New Testament? And Herman Riffle, a former Baptist minister who is now with the Lord, suggested that perhaps because the Jewish writers assumed everyone was already on board with dreams and visions, because they were commonly they knew these were vehicles for the way God spoke to people. So, you know, the Gospels highlight some of these radical transformative encounters like Peter's vision, Paul's visionary experience. But listen again, you cannot ignore the voice of St. Peter in Acts 2. You can't ignore his voice, dear friends. Peter declared, this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel, and it shall be in the last days. In the last days, God says that I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old dream will dream dreams. Even upon my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Acts chapter 2. You know, there's a spiritual principle established in the Old Testament of the Law of Moses, that God would establish things in the mouth of two or three witnesses, that they would be established. A matter would be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. You follow that through the Old Testament. You can follow that into the Gospels. You can see it in the apostolic era, in Hebrews and in 2 Corinthians, where it says in the mouth of two or three witnesses. I've just given you a number of witnesses. I've given you the witness of Mother Teresa. I've given you the witness of young Dr. Cho. I've given you the witness of Dr. Kelsey, of Reverend Herman Riffle. I've given you witnesses among both Catholic and Episcopalian and Protestant traditions. Then I've given you the witness, the testimony, down through the years of people who received something from God, music, inventions, guidance in war, through the dream in the night. And now I've given you the biblical evidence supporting the fact that God never rescinded dreams as a way to speak to Him. That's a lie, dear friends, that He rescinded dreams. It's an absolute lie. It's an absolute lie. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that you'll break through from that lie and that you'll want to take advantage of every way our Heavenly Father wants to speak to you. He sent the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I've sent the Holy Spirit. He will be with you and in you. And He's here to make God's words known to you. My question is, how much more evidence do you need to believe that God is still using the dream? I could tell you stories of my friends who received dreams from God. I didn't get to them today. On another recording I did the other day, maybe I'll put both of these recordings on because they're a little different. But I talked to you about my friend Margaret, who received a dream in the night when her husband had left her for another woman. In the dream, she found the direction and purpose to go on the offensive and divorce him instead of waiting for God to bring him back. God said, no, he's not coming back. Another, a friend over in Wisconsin, has given us shown that the problem is that her heart is closed and she needs to open the door of the atrium of her heart and let her husband and other people in. And because she's afraid of anger, she's afraid to do it. So God is continually, even last night, speaking to people through dreams and visions and prophecy. But He speaks every night. We're sleeping. We're having 2 to 3 hours of dreams. And in closing, I want to give you a thought from the Talmud. You know, the Talmud is the Judaic book, Judeo book for or Jewish for the Hebrew believers. And in this book, it says dreams which are not interpreted are like letters which not have been opened. I'll repeat it: dreams which are not interpreted are like letters which have never been opened. Yeah, Elihu said to Job, "You have no excuse. Don't complain against God. He speaks in the dream of the night. Are you not listening?" is what he's telling Job. Are you not hearing what he wants to say to you in the dream of the night? And so, thank you so much. I realize this has gone longer than I wanted to. But I pray that you'll share this and tell your friends about it, to listen to this, and then go back and say, God, is this something you want me to learn about? Is this something you want me to understand? And as I mentioned, our book, Dream Treasure, it's available on Amazon. It's also available on our CreateSpace e-store. And I hope you'll get a copy and that you'll really work through it. Perhaps you'll start a dream sharing group. I'd love to see this happen around our country, that groups of Christians in twos and threes or fours will get together and begin to talk about their dreams and learn how what God is saying to them, through them. And thank you for your time. I know that you've been blessed, and I know that you're hungry. You wouldn't have taken this whole time to go through this. So in Jesus' name, Father, we pray that you would enlighten your people in the how you are speaking today, that you would open their ears in their spirit, in their innermost being. And Lord, they'd begin to know your voice, and they began to recognize what you want to say to them today. Give them the courage, Father, to hear your voice and to do what you say. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father. Amen.